Welcome to the Recreation Committee meeting on Monday, October 1st, 9:00 a.m. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Good. All right, item number one is approval of the minutes from the September 4, 2018 minutes meeting.
Second.
All right, any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Item number two is our public comments period. If anybody in the public would like to give us a couple of minutes and let us, there you go, Mr. Pickleball, come on up. Come up here now to the microphone so that you can give us your name and address for the record, please, sir. You've got a couple of minutes. Good to see you. I should have wore my pickleball shirt I had from, if I'd known you were going to be talking, I'd have brought my pickleball shirt.
My name is Al Bradshaw Whittemore. I'm the USAPA ambassador for Mount Pleasant. I live at 577 Antebellum Lane in Mount Pleasant. Just a couple of things. The first thing I'd like to announce is that Mike Michener, who was a Lowcountry district ambassador for pickleball, has resigned. It's been a week now. He's resigned from his position. So right now I'm the only official pickleball representative for Mount Pleasant. If anyone else represents themselves as such, they have no authority. All right. The second one is I was out this morning playing pickleball before I came over here, and I'll leave and play pickleball at the Marion Brown Community Center, and that court is very fast deteriorating. It's getting long cracks in it, all over it, which makes for some very unusual ball bounces. Also, just in the last week, it started blistering and popping open other than the cracks. So that needs some attention. We appreciate that court. There's four pickleball courts there, and we always have a crew there. I think about 6 days a week, might be seven. The third thing I want to mention is we had a pickleball power hour at the Senior Center last Friday. It was very successful. We had 21 people participating, which is a lot when you only got one indoor court. Everybody had a good time. We had fun and games and food, and the winner with the most points got a free 30-minute massage from a local person. So,
I like that.
And the massage is not being done by me, so move
Thank
on.
You.
That person thanks me, too. Another thing is local schools are now introducing pickleball into their PE program. Moultrie Middle School is now into the third year. I went over there, and I'll be going this week one day to help demo pickleball. They had 50 kids in this particular class, sixth graders. They have a lot more other classes, but this was the most attended. It was very interesting. Eight courts on one basketball court. I put in my email, any other place to turn out, Ashley Hall in Charleston, this is their third year teaching pickleball from grades 7 through 12. And after the first year, Whitesides Elementary School is going to have me over there to introduce pickleball to them. They want to do it after the first year because they're going to have a field day, and they don't want it so far in advance the kids will forget how to play pickleball. So indoor courts at the Recreation Department has been supplying, has been working out very good. We appreciate that. We now have 4 days a week we can play indoors, and us old people don't have to sweat so much outside. We really appreciate that, and I understand it will be continuing into the cold months, too, which I don't know when they'll get here. That's it in a nutshell.
Right, well,
any
listen,
questions?
Thank you very much. You need to come to our Recreation Committee meeting next month because we're going to have some folks here that are talking about bringing a big tennis facility here, and they're going to include pickleball courts as well.
Derek Williams?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've spoken to Mr. Williams, and we've had some conversation about what's needed there.
Good. And well, we're going to have him come next meeting. So.
All right. I'll
mark
it. Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome. Anybody else? We have a, I know we have a star out here in the audience. Debbie, you want to? Miss Antonelli, I don't even know how many accolades I can put on you.
There's a lot.
She's a broadcaster. She does it all. I just want to say hello, and maybe you can introduce yourself to everybody. And
sure.
Thank you so much for giving me some minutes this morning to speak to you. I want to thank Steve and the Rec Department for, you know, giving me a chance here. Very briefly, I will say we've lived in Mount Pleasant for 19 years, and I would say maybe 15 of those have been a volunteer in the Recreation Department, several different ways. I've always coached in the summer, so I've coached my boys through rec basketball. I have conducted numerous camps and clinics. I'm actually in the middle of one right now. It's called the Mount Pleasant Basketball Academy, which I've hosted for the last 13 years. So 4 nights I bring kids in, and I have 100 kids. Tonight I'll be in Park West with 100 boys and girls, teaching them the fundamentals of basketball. I have also introduced a new camp here. It's called the Girls Only Sports Camp. We actually do have pickleball in our camp. We play 20 different sports. The first year that I conducted the camp was 3 summers ago. I wasn't sure if it would go over, but it's not just introducing new sports to young girls. It's teaching them about self-confidence and empowerment. And we all know from research that when girls participate in sport, they're less likely to have something, I don't know what's appropriate to say here, so I don't want to say the wrong words, but
we get it.
Yeah, we all know, and if anybody has daughters, they understand what I'm talking about. I happen to have 3 boys. My oldest son just graduated from South Carolina. My middle son is a sophomore in the Clemson Life program. Life is learning is for everyone, so he has an intellectual disability called Down syndrome, and he has been a big part of participating in every recreational therapeutic program that we've had here. I would like to take a moment to just recognize Shelly Davis, who is an employee for Steve at the rec department and does an outstanding job with our families in this community for children with special needs and with Special Olympics. So my youngest son is 16, and all of my kids play. We've played everything when they were growing up, soccer, flag football. I mean, I could go on and on and list, but the girls camp, I had 30 girls the first year, and I didn't know if it would work, but I made, you know, with the Recreation Department split, I made $3,000 on that camp after proceeds, after my expenses, and I gave all of that back to the Recreation Department for girls in our community.
Thank you.
So since then, last year I had 100 girls in my camp, and I expect to keep doing that camp. And I've been told it's either it might be the second largest camp that we have here in Mount Pleasant. So we should all be very proud of what we're doing for girls in this community, because everybody's involved in it. But that's not why I'm here to talk to you today. I'm here, as you can see, if I may continue, is, and I don't know if I have a timeline. I'm a professional talker in a microphone, so if you need to cut me off, just give me the signal. I'm familiar with cutting it short. I work for ESPN and CBS. I cover college basketball. This will be my 30th year on the air. So I've been doing this for a long time, and I travel. I'm gone the whole winter. And I work for CBS on the NCAA men's tournament, as well as ESPN and college basketball on the men's and women's side. So for many years, I've been trying to figure out what was something that I could do that was individual and unique to help Special Olympics in our area. I had been back and forth with many members of Steve's staff about a 5-on-5 or a 3-on-3, but all of that required a lot of work and many more people than me, and I felt like this was something that I could control. So the basis of this is a free throw shooting marathon, hopefully in the town hall gym. I would start on noon on the 18th, and I would finish at noon on the 19th. I am going to make 100 free throws every hour, and I'm going to ask for pledges. So I'm going to stay in the gym for 24 hours. Thank you, Steve. Yeah. This is just basically what I just told you about us and our family. Those are my 3 boys on the right side of the screen. That's a little bit of an older picture, but that's a summer rec picture from my boys playing basketball. And my son Frankie does play on Patrick's rec team. He does not play on the Special Olympic team right now because he's capable of playing on Patrick's team. He's that good of an athlete. That's an old picture. I just threw one up there. It's showing you what great form I have. I have muscle memory. If you're a shooter, you have muscle memory and the ability to self-correct. That's back in my college days at North Carolina State. I played for a Naismith Basketball Hall of Famer named Kay Yao. And that was against North Carolina, which was even sweeter because I'm sure I stuck that J in the corner. But this is my plan and my pledge. So I'm going to make 100 free throws every hour. It's not going to take me that long. I am going to stay in the gym the whole time. Steve, if you go to the next one. This is about Special Olympics in our area, so I'm sure most of you are very familiar. The Mount Pleasant Recreation Department has been an incredible partner for a very long time with Special Olympics, and actually the first time I met Tom was over the very first introductory buddy walk that we have hosted in our community here, and it's been a very successful event for a lot of reasons, not only as a fundraiser, but creating awareness for people with intellectual disability. Okay, this is where I'm leaving it open-ended because I'm not sure what the rules are about what I will and will not be able to do, but my plan is to incorporate all of these partners into this event. I feel like because I have been an invested member of this community and have been I am a basketball person. I'm not just a parent that coaches basketball. This is my profession, it's my career, and it's my passion. And so I'm going to be able to stay in the gym for 24 hours. You all are going to be welcome to come in and shoot with me. I'm going to figure out how that plan might work. But I'm going to make this a community activity, and I would almost fall short of calling it maybe a basketball festival. We do not have that in our community right now, and I can see every person that has some sort of play in the game would be interested in being a supporter of this. And I have bounced this around a lot of different people, and I feel like this is going to be a really fun event for our community. This is my pledge, and this is a pledge card, and this is how people will be able to contribute. So basically, if you gave a penny, you will be giving $24 to Special Olympics. A nickel would be $120. A dime would be $240. I locked myself into a minimum, and that's probably going to be what I'm going to be able to do, is 2,400 free throws. That way people could know what they would be pledging when they decide to support. I am going to take this pledge card with me everywhere I go. So I will be traveling the college basketball landscape. I am on 5 different nonprofit boards, but Special Olympics is not one of them. So I feel like there's a lot of people that I can ask to get involved because they have asked me to get involved. And I believe that this is going to be something that I think all of us could be proud of. And I am going to need your support and your help to be able to pull it off. And I'm not worried about anything but our 16, 18, and 20. You know, when I'm in the gym. But a lot of people are going to say, you know, how are you going to do that? Was one of the first things Steve said to me was, really? And I said, yeah, it's this ridiculous and so outrageous sounding that, and I know no one has done it here. I don't even know if anyone has done it. I think teams have done it, but I felt like this would be a way to really invest back in our community. So when I talk about festival, this is what I'm sort of talking about, and I hope that we would be able to figure out how we could work together to make this happen and that I stay within the parameters that I need to stay in to help make this a success. But I know with the resources of the Recreation Department, the wonderful people we have in our community and the way they support Special Olympics already, coming off of the big bocce tournament, which is in April, we thought May would be a good time. And from a marketing standpoint, it really gave me the whole college basketball season to lay this out. I can't guarantee that my employer, ESPN, will get behind this, but I have a feeling that once it gets some synergy going, that I could see that it will. And I will be myself, I plan each hour to have some sort of live media, social media presence. And I think all the people in our community, from media to some corporations, will get behind this and want to get involved. So that's what my plan is. I am training, but like I said, muscle memory and the ability to self-correct won't take me that long. I do own my own dish. It's a rebounding machine. It's got these gigantic nets on it, and many of you have seen it. You shoot the ball, and it shoots the ball back out to you, very much like a baseball or a tennis machine would be, where they throw the balls back. That this is a machine for basketball. And so if I have to be in the gym by myself, I do have someone that can help me rebound. It'll be my dish. So I'm very excited about making this presentation to you all. So thank you so much for giving me time, and I hope I didn't
go
too long.
You're good. You know, I met you years ago. My daughter and some of her sixth grade team took to your clinic, and we got invited to a seventh and eighth grade state championship. And those girls, you know, after coming from your clinic, they went all the way to the semifinals and took the winning shot, and it bounced off the rim. And if it had gone in, we'd have been in the finals against the 8th grade team. This is a 6th grade team. And that was after taking your clinic. So clearly your clinic helps
Thank
these
you.
Girls tremendously. So we love it. I think that's fantastic. And if you were here, if you'd have been here last month, you'd have seen Shelly. We had Shelly come up and tell everybody about her program. Because it is such a great program. We went to Denver, and that's where I first got to see them working with the kids, and they do a fantastic job. So we wanted to bring them here to let the world know what they're doing with these kids, and it's fantastic stuff. So I'll open it up.
I just want to say thanks. Thanks for living here. Because you would be this person no matter where you lived, and we benefit from that. The Camp for the Girls is just the best thing ever. And all the things you said, that young women need. It's important to have that in this world of wanting to make everything the same. I like that. But we will.
Thank you.
I love the fact that this will be a festival, and you'll never be in that gym by yourself. I know that.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know, about 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm counting on my personal friends to be in there with me at that time.
Yeah,
so.
I think this could be bigger than we think. And it's also because of the cause. You know, the cause is so important. So I'm excited about doing anything I can, you know, to help. But I just want to say thanks for everything you've done.
Thank you.
It might take
me
24 hours to make 10. I'll give it a shot. Jim?
No, I just think what you're doing is wonderful, and I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, let us know what we can do. I think, as you can tell, the committee's all for it, so I'm sure the rest of council is as well. So whatever we can do, please just let us know. You can come through Steve, or you know, if you feel free to call one of us if you want, but certainly I think we're all for it. So.
Well, thank you so much. I thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing you guys. Start training now. I'll need your help.
All right, Eric. You're going to have to get out and show us how to do it.
Man.
Right. All right. Any other public comments? Okay, guys, we'll move forward. Item number 3 is the presentation of Special Olympics. Oh, was that it? That was a special. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought that was in the comments section. All right, item number 4, Carolina Park Phase 3 cost analysis. We have our good folks from Seaman and Whitesides here to
Lee Gasly.
To talk to us. Lee Gasly.
All right, Lee Gasly with Seaman Whiteside, 1881 Capri Isle, Charleston County. All right, well, following Debbie's not an easy task, that's for sure and certain. She is awesome. All right, a couple of months ago we were here basically kind of doing a comparison between a turf field and a synthetic field to see what the differences were from a cost perspective. At that time, we were asked to kind of go a little bit further in depth and to basically analyze where a synthetic field might go at the Carolina Park Sports Complex. There is a new phase that is being considered right now. So basically what we're looking at right now is the master plan for the sports complex. And I'm going to show it on this one so these folks can see it. But basically, and they have a printout, but this right here, about half of that parking lot, these three, one baseball, two softball, this parking, that field right there, there's a dog park, and there's actually two pieces of property right here that would remain passive and there would be a trail system on it. So we were looking at that basically, and we've come up with three options. The baseline option is what I just pointed out to you. It's the phase 3 as is currently proposed in the master plan. The next option is to replace the existing turf field, I can't get it, the existing turf field up there with a synthetic field. The second option is where the baseball field is to actually put a synthetic rectangular field in the outfield of that baseball field. Now that particular field, just because of the composition and the size of the baseball field, would only be a 50-yard by 100-yard field as opposed to a 65-yard by 120. And then the last option that we investigated was basically, there's the baseball option. And the last option is this rectangular field right here, making that synthetic right from the get-go. All right. Are there any more of
them? Go to the other
options.
Steve, can I ask just one question on these? There's soccer lines on them, but there's other sports played on those fields, right? Or no?
Currently, there's the only sports we play over there are soccer, but we, you know, they certainly could be used for whichever sports we wanted to, other rectangular sports. Yeah. Would you like to go to the summary?
Yeah, let's go to the summary. Okay. Now, in your packet, I've got a very detailed opinion of cost, and then in the back is kind of a summary, because to even with the summary, there's a lot of numbers, and it's very difficult to see on these screens, so maybe the best thing is to just talk about the overall numbers, and if there's any specific questions that you've got, please feel free to ask me about those. All right. The what we're calling the baseline concept, or the original phase three concept, and this is an early estimate total construction cost. That would be basically a $7.1 million project to execute that. If we were to replace the existing turf field, field one, and make that a synthetic field, then that cost goes up to just a little over $8.1 million. If we were to basically do the synthetic baseball option, and in order to do that, the entire baseball field really needs to be a synthetic surface, then that's $8,168,000. It's a little bit more than the synthetic soccer field one replacement, but it's very close.
Lee?
Yes.
That's the field you said could not handle soccer.
The synthetic baseball, it couldn't handle a full 20. Match, so to speak, because it's 50 yards, you could play on it, but 100 yards is not long enough. So it's better for like micro soccer, small side soccer, or practice field.
It wouldn't be any use to Oceanside.
Right.
They wouldn't be able to play on it. So yeah, okay.
Okay. And then the last option is the synthetic soccer field number 5, which is part of phase 3. And that's a $7.7 million option. So basically, all of the synthetic options are more than the baseline, obviously, with the least expensive right now showing as just building the one remaining soccer field that's in the master plan as a synthetic soccer field.
Now, Lee, let me ask you a quick question. In these figures, you just have the cost. You don't have, for instance, maintenance. I know last time y'all reported about $16,000, but I think once we crunched the numbers, we found out it's about $29,000 savings for maintenance on those fields. Have you calculated that into this, or is this just flat out cost?
No, this is strictly hard construction costs for the complex.
Okay.
Maintenance is not in here.
Eric, what's the budget for phase three?
$3.5 million. Yep.
Oh, okay.
One thing I'll just point out, as you well know, that site is low. And when you go out there, the existing fields are built up. So in order to build out the rest of the complex, there's a substantial amount of fill material that's going to have to be brought into the site in order to elevate it enough to drain and match it up with the existing. I mean, basically, the amount of off-site borrow that's going to be required for the parking in the fields, that number right there is $1.4 million of your budget. Mm-hmm. For that. So not that in another situation you wouldn't have some of that, but this site, you're really spending a substantial portion of your budget for that imported fill.
I have a question, Mr. Santos.
Yes, sir.
Probably to you. Okay, so I asked Eric what the budget was. He said 3.5 million. You know, synthetic turf, you know, weeds, whatever you want. We're not doing this for $3.5 million. No. So we got a problem.
Well, I'll defer to Mr. DeMora here to talk about what you think, Eric.
Yes, sir. If constructing a turf field is your desire, that's fine. What we would have to do at that point.
But Eric, if it's not turf, we with
Oh, you're saying without?
I'm saying that if it's grass, if it's dirt, $3.5 million isn't going to get us hardly anything.
Well, that's correct. $3.5 million is the money we're going to have in the bank at close of year.
Okay.
We have the $7 million plus in the out years for this project. It's just not in the bank.
Oh,
it won't be in the bank for
a
while.
Phase.
And that's dependent upon money coming in as expected.
Right.
So, in other words, we couldn't take on a $7 million project right now anyway because we don't have the money in the bank.
Okay.
But by the end of the year, we'll have 3.5. And so I think there are two options available. One would be without the turf field, and then we work with our designer to see what we can fund in this portion of Phase 3. Or the second option is work with our designer again and possibly Oceanside as to what we can fund, sort of phase in the phase, in Phase 3 to include a turf field.
Yep. And I'm sorry, I was remiss. I should have introduced Oceanside's principal there. I kept looking at her going, I know her. Yeah. That's what. Would you mind just stand up and say your name, please, so everybody knows?
I'm Brenda Cordy. I'm the principal of Oceanside Collegiate Academy. We are a public charter high school here in Mount Pleasant with 650 kids. We are full. We're in a lottery system. Our lottery is going to be November 5th, doing amazing things for a lot less here in the Low Country. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Mr.
Okay,
Chairman,
sorry, I should have done that before.
Mr. Chairman, as well, when I mentioned phasing in Phase 3, the numbers that have been provided by Mr. Gasly, when you look at pre-construction and earthwork and general site work and some other things, this will all be less by phasing it in. In other words, this is pre-construction, earthwork, site work for the entire amount of the property. So if we're just boiling it down, if you will, to say a turf field, some parking, and then what other any additional fields we could get in, it would be on a smaller site, and the earthwork and site work would be less.
So Eric, can we kind of task you to look at this and see how we can make this work within the budget, a turf field?
Be glad to.
Yeah, absolutely. If we can phase that in, that'd be great.
And also, Eric, not now or anything, but just, you know, maybe we also sit down with Marcy and just look at all options, bonding, anything.
Sure.
That can make those dollars go a little bit further.
Of course.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jim?
I just had a few questions about, you know, because this is such a large additional expense, and I understand that the turf field would be able to be used year-round. And I understand that our current fields are down 60 to 70 days a year. Is that correct?
They are used throughout the year. However, we do not schedule sports on them. We have camps and stuff that can use them throughout the year, but we do not schedule teams to play on them continuously throughout the year because of the wear and tear on the field to give them a chance to recover during the summertime.
And so they're all taken down during the summertime. So there's a period of time during the year where we have all the fields down, or all the soccer fields down
All of the fields in the town, we take them down during the wintertime. We try to reduce play on them, to not have play on them during that time, and also during the summertime as well. Like I said, we do use them for summer camps. We run some camps and stuff out on the fields. Use them for our program, but we do not schedule sports or rent them out to clubs that want to use them.
Okay. So would the added value of a turf field be that our rec department would be able to use that field during those down times? Would it be so that we could rent it out to other outside organizations? Would it be both?
The primary advantage would be in enabling us to rent them out to other facilities, other organizations. We are able to use them for our program. We have the space and our ability to use the fields for our program right now. It'll also make a difference in the future when we can reduce the amount of rental to other organizations that utilize a large number of the fields. We may be able to rotate the fields a little bit more and still be able to use them during the summer without as much wear and tear on them, without as much of a need to have the recovery.
And then the distinction between option number two and option number four is that option number two is replacement of an existing soccer field with a turf field.
Correct.
And option four is building an entirely new field.
Correct, yes.
So I guess I would like to put out there that I would prefer option four, building an entire, right? Why would we take down an existing field?
Well, you know, also, we talked about the baseball field. I think that's gone, too. It's no use in hamstringing ourselves by building a field that's not going to be able to be used by the high schools and things like that, or bringing in soccer matches. I mean, certainly we want to be able to handle anybody who wants to come out there and play. So, yeah, that's why I thought maybe if Eric could kind of look at this and, you know, crunch some numbers and see if there's a way for us to be able to do that, you know, within the existing budget, then I think that would be the most appropriate thing, huh?
So, if it's good, Mr. Chair, we'll plan to come back next month with the what this might look like within budget, and to communicate as well with our friends at Oceanside to discuss opportunities.
Absolutely, okay.
That's a great plan.
Go ahead.
So, what I would like to see in that, if possible, is what would be done with that $3.5 million without a turf field, and then what can be done with the turf field in there. Because I think in order to have that extra $700,000, $800,000 for the turf field, necessarily something else in this next phase or this $3.5 million is going to have to be taken out of the project for now. Because what I don't want to do is to hamstring the development of this as a, you know, if we're only going to get one field when we could get two or three, is that something we have to balance? Say we want one, we'd rather have one turf field than three. I mean, one artificial field than three regular turf fields. You know, I think that's something that we need to look at.
Right, because that turf field will be able to handle multiple sports, soccer, football, you know, lacrosse. All up rugby, I mean, if we wanted to, but so it could be used for a lot of different sports, which I think is great. We need to be able to do that whenever we need to. So, okay, so Eric, you got it. Thank you, sir. All right, anything else, guys? All right, item number five is program and projects update.
There we go. Sorry, I just didn't have my paper out there. All right. You see, I can turn that off. There we go. All right, you have the committee report. We have our youth sports are doing very, very strong, as you can see there. We are increasing almost across the board in youth sports. Even adult soccer is up. Our softball is down a little bit in adult sports. Tennis memberships are down from last year. And we have our swim lessons are booming. Our senior center is increasing as well. Some of the things that we had, obviously the farmers market has been going on throughout the month. The Cultural Arts and Prides Commission is finalizing the preparation for the installation of sculptures. We have two sculptures going to be installed, one at the library, the Mount Pleasant Library, and also one at the R.L. Jones Center. So that's going to be very nice to have, you know, some stuff, some artwork put in over there. They also have installed 14 poems for It's Raining Art at Town Center. That's the art that comes out when it rains, and it shows up on the sidewalks over there. And they are accepting submissions for the 6 new traffic box art installations at their October meeting. So those traffic boxes have been very, very popular, and they're going to be doing 6 more of them coming up soon. They have put out submissions for the Town Hall art to be placed here in Town Hall, and they will be selecting the art at the November meeting. And some upcoming events, we had one of the biggest sock hops we've had in a long time in September. It was fantastic. It was a blast. Had a great time in September. I want to thanks to Allison Lane, I think, in promoting it through our marketing area, and the community really responded, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're excited next year to be able to do them over here in this new Town Hall gym as well.
You know, when I used to coach, the sock hops used to kill me because I could never get kids to practice. They all went to the sock hop.
Right. Well, we hope that continues. We hope that continues because
they paid for it at the next practice.
Right. Right. obviously, coming up in a few weeks, we have the Children's Day Festival, something to look forward to, a huge event out of Park West, and something we're very, very excited about on October 21st. And then we have our traditional Halloween in the Old Village. About 2 years ago, we started doing, rather than just Halloween in the Old Village, we duplicated those efforts out at Park West. So we do it on both sides of town. And it turned out very, very well. We do it outside at Park West, kind of near the playground. Police department comes out and does some trunk or treating out of the backs of their cars, and they all dress up, and it's a great event, a lot of fun, and the community responds to it very well. So that's our report.
Good. I guess, Coach.
Steve, do you think there's any are there any groups or people that are requesting fields that we can't accommodate? Like, and the reason I asked the question, I was talking to a guy the other day that, old guy, he's like, he's not as old as me, but he's old. that like they get together and they play like Sunday afternoon soccer, pickup, whoever shows up and plays. And they've been kicked out off of every single field in the whole region, everywhere.
Right.
And it's like, oh, maybe we're going to go somewhere else. And I was thinking, maybe what a cool thing to have them like pay one fee and get a card or something and say, all right, from Sundays from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. or whatever, there you go. And I didn't know if we ever had any room for that or that's something we would want to do.
We accommodate a lot of groups to be able to use fields. Certainly there are times, especially when we have when we're in our season, we're monopolizing our fields. I mean,
right.
More fields is good. I mean, we can we'll use them. We'll put them to use. We'll use them for ourselves. As a matter of fact, like I said, being able to have access to 5 additional fields soon will be fantastic for our program to be able to expand the sports. Even our sports, a lot of times we have to run them much later than we'd like to because we have to stack game after game after game going late into the evening. So being able to have additional fields, we certainly will be able to have time space. We'll probably use up if we get when we get additional fields. We'll use them up ourselves on the early part. But that'll open up evening spaces and evening times. And a lot of times those adult groups and people like that would be a perfect time for them to come out and play some games.
We also have that lacrosse group that wants to come in the evenings and rent fields as well. I'm getting asked all the time about renting our fields. So it's
adults or youth?
Adults. I think they were going to be teaching youth. They were given back to the community by holding clinics for the youth as well. And this guy, the gentleman that came before us, he was a professional, wasn't he? He said he was a professional.
I think, yeah, that spoke at committee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had him at the committee. And, so they're willing to give back and even do clinics, for the kids and all. So, yeah, I'm getting a lot of requests for the use of our fields as well. That's why I thought the turf would be the best because it would be less wear and tear.
Well, and my motives are so selfish because I'm the finance chair as well. And I just know that next year, the year after 5 years, we've got to find revenue sources. We've got to find revenue sources. And I just feel like adults with good fields and good organization, of which you have both, they'll pay anything. They'll pay anything. And so I was trying to just think about opportunities for us to be able to help on the finance side maybe with a enterprise-based adult sports model, sort of.
You're right. Our fields are fantastic, and I think we're the envy of so many communities around here, and so we are highly sought after.
And you guys know what you're doing, and you have field supervisors, and it's just a great program.
Thank you.
But I think people pay anything to be able to have that quality to do that. So, whatever. I think this has nothing to do with the agenda. I better shut up.
Well, we talked about it before. Impact fees are high, and yeah. I think the budgets, we're going to see it start to bottom out here, and it's nice if the recreation department can generate revenue for themselves. I mean, who knows? Once we get Rifle Range Road done, we can bring tournaments in. Recreation might be able to help other areas of the town as well if we're making that kind of revenue. From what I'm hearing that other places are making, it's good, and it'll certainly could be self-sustaining for recreation, but might also be able to help other areas of the town. So I think that's something we need to look at because a lot of places are going to that, and they're very successful. Very. Okay, anything else for the cause? You good? Right, you good? We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Ahead of time.